Whether by plane, by vehicle, by bike, or by foot, no matter how you get around, there is a lot to take in this weekend. We begin live at Pearson Airport, the hub of so much travel disruption, with a move meant to get things moving again.
But on the roads, the cost of commuting just keeps climbing. The price at the pump set to hit another record high in the GTA.
And going nowhere fast, bracing for another couple of days of gridlock in the city with closures and detours nearly everywhere you look. Good evening. Let's start with a development that will likely have air travelers breathing a sigh of relief.
To make the process at the airport a little easier, if you've been through Pearson lately, you know about the issues. We begin our coverage tonight with CTV's Raheem Ladani live at Pearson Airport. Raheem.
Well, Nathan and Michelle, Canada's transport minister insists that wait times at Pearson International are improving. Omar Al-Ghabra says they're half what they used to be 2 weeks ago, and the federal government is hoping its latest move will help reduce delays even further. To help reduce the current chaos at Pearson International Airport, the federal government is dropping one of its key COVID-19 travel measures. Beginning tomorrow, mandatory random testing will be suspended at all Canadian airports.
Sometimes we were in lines and it was a child who was being selected to be randomly tested, and the entire family gets delayed because they chose one child. So I think it's great, and I think it's a step in the direction to returning to what was our formal normal.
The pause on testing will last until the end of June. Unvaccinated travelers will still be tested on site. But on July 1st, all testing will be done off-site in an effort to ease delays with luggage, security, and customs.
I just flew in a couple of weeks from Dominican, and it was just chaotic coming in through customs. It was line after line. I've never seen anything so unorganized. It's just crazy.
The move comes as frustration among travelers is growing. New data from the Greater Toronto Airports Authority shows nearly 500,000 passengers were held up after landing at Pearson aboard international flights last month. 2,700 flights arriving from outside Canada were delayed this past May, compared to just 4 in May of 2019.
The biggest issue here is that we are going to see a 50% increase. So Pearson's going to move from moving 30,000 passengers a day up to 45,000 in just a matter of days.
And as peak travel season approaches, there's concern Toronto's reputation may take a hit.
A major convention, the Collision Tech Conference, over 35,000 people coming in a few weeks. And the experience they have when they arrive, when they leave, and throughout their time, all impacts future decisions.
For travelers flying south of the border, there is some good news. Beginning Sunday, the United States is dropping its pre-departure COVID-19 test requirement for those entering the country, a measure that's been in place for the past 2.5 years.
I think it's time, you know, like we've done in Canada, what, since March? So it's time for the U.S. to step up, as far as I'm concerned.
It's not doing anything anymore, and there's only us. The whole world is dropping the testing, so we should go along with it.
It's one less hurdle that could help clear the clogged terminals. Now, even with the pause to random testing, travelers still do need to use their ArriveCan app to upload both vaccine credentials and also answer pandemic-related questions. The federal government says those measures will remain in place until at least the end of June. Reporting live, I'm Raheem Ladani. Nathan, back to you.
All right, thank you, Raheem. Another big change this weekend, the lifting of most remaining mask mandates in Ontario.
The province no longer requiring face coverings on public transit, in hospitals, and in shelters, but the rules will stay in place for retirement and long-term care homes. Ontario's top doctor reassuring residents they will still be protected.
It's our expectation that all that we've learned over the last 2.5 years are now embedded in the standard of care, the standard of practice. And it's our expectation, absolutely, like all the infectious disease experts expect, that they will be maintained.
Despite the province's decision, the head of Ontario's science table says masking mandates should have been maintained in high-risk settings for at least a few more weeks. Several Toronto hospitals say they will keep masking in place for now. Next to the cost of gas, the steady climb affecting driving habits across the country.
Some choosing to cut down on trips while others are filling up only a little at a time. And it seems that is creating another set of problems. CTV's Janice Golding reports.
The price of gas continues to climb, with Ontario set to reach a new record this weekend.
No one's going to be afford to do anything.
It's definitely not nice, and it definitely takes out a lot of my money.
It cost me $260. That's a day's work. I got to work 2 days to fill my truck up. You have to do something.
According to Dan McTague, president of Canadians for Affordable Energy, prices will climb 2 cents today and even higher tomorrow, bringing the cost of gas above a record high set just last weekend.
215.9 here in the GTA across most of southern Ontario. It's likely to go up at least another cent or two on Sunday, 216.9 or even 217.9. A little early to tell at this point.
Petroleum analysts say drivers who are pressed for cash are only doing partial fill-ups.
I just put $10, you know, for a car like this. I always carry one
jerry
can, tank, a small one, in case that I stop in the middle of the road.
I just put in an X amount just to get me from here to there, you know.
In April, the American Automobile Association saw a 32% spike in out-of-gas roadside assistance calls, while the Canadian Automobile Association has also seen a jump in stranded motorists from 732 in May 2021 to 1,004 this May. Now, the CAA says it is important to note last year's lockdowns and restrictions may have had some impact on these numbers. Nonetheless, the Ontario Safety League says there is no question the rising cost of fuel is creating safety concerns.
You've got a direct correlation, so people are not changing their tires. They're trying to squeeze more out of the tires. They're skipping an oil change or maintenance. And a lot of people are driving on $20 worth of gas. And when they run out of gas, you can imagine today on the 400, somebody runs out of gas in the middle lane.
As the temperatures continue to climb, Dan McTague says we can expect gas prices to keep soaring, potentially hitting 225 cents a liter at some point this summer. Janice Golding, CTV News.
From gas to gridlock, it could prove to be another challenging weekend to get around.
Whether it's construction or planned closures, it can be an aggravating experience. CTV's Andrew Brennan is live with more on this. Andrew.
Nathan, Michelle, there's so much going on in this city this weekend. There's a grilled cheese festival in the West End. We're active TOs going to be set up for the weekend. But with so much going on, there's also so much getting in the way of actually getting there.
Closing things down to open up room for some fun. But it comes at a cost, a growing cost because of gas prices for drivers.
I think it's going to be a nightmare.
Around the city, closures will shut down major streets throughout the weekend. Lakeshore is closed from Strawn to Windermere from 6:30 to 10:30 a.m. Saturday for the Ride to Conquer Cancer, and further west from 2nd to 7th Streets until midnight. Lansdowne is shut down for Portugal Day festivities from Bloor to College, 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Queen's Park Crescent, east and west, are shut down from Bloor to College Saturday morning, but stay closed to Wellesley until Sunday at 6 p.m. And Islington remains closed down from Eglinton to the Kingsway for the Canadian Open. Anyone looking to take public transit to avoid the congestion will also have to deal with subway shutdowns. Line 1 is down all weekend between Lawrence and St. Clair stations. Line 2 on Sunday until noon between St. George and Broadview. Also, Bay and Sherburn stations are out of service on Sunday. On top of that, there is active TO shutting down the area around Bayview Avenue from Rosedale Valley to Lauren Harris Square. It began in the pandemic as a way to make room for safe outdoor fun, but the calls are growing to end active TO. Now the president of the Toronto Blue Jays has written to Mayor John Tory saying it's time to stop closing Lakeshore Boulevard. Mark Shapiro says, we support folks getting outside and being active, but Toronto has many options and routes to use, whereas our fans do not. A spokesperson says the City of Toronto is evaluating active TO, saying city staff are compiling as much data as possible from recent active TO road closures on Lakeshore West and will have a report to council at its June meeting next week. Some drivers are also saying it's getting to be too much.
It's getting harder and harder, I think. I got used to COVID empty streets in downtown, and now we are back to our old days.
But even after 6 hours today in the car, some were looking on the bright side.
Traffic is very, very bad, but you know something? The weather is great.
Which is why he says we have to take the good with the bad.
Now, I should also mention, for those looking to get into the city and avoid the gridlock here, the GO train that's coming from Stouffville, the entire line's shut down. That's going to be happening until Sunday night. It won't resume regular service until Monday morning. So as we get into the high season of the glory days of summer, we should just be expecting a little bit more gridlock and have a bit more patience along the way. Reporting live, I'm Andrew Brennan. Nathan, back to you.
All right, thank you, Andrew. Another piece of the travel headache puzzle plaguing people right now, passports.
As more and more families look to get away, the lineups at passport offices persist.
From high above and down on the ground, signs of exasperation at the Victoria Street Passport Office.
I thought that I applied in time, that it was going to be no problem, and now I'm really worried and stressed out, and the line is really not moving.
Yeah, we're going on 3 hours now.
Hopeful he'd get in today, Nelson Garcia wonders if there could have been some foresight.
We're coming out of 2 years of inactivity, so they could have maybe planned it a bit better, you know, look ahead.
Callum Davidson didn't think he'd have to be here. He thought his trip to Portugal was set.
We applied for the passport in April, and they said we'd have it by May 24th, and here we are.
And they are not alone. Further west, this was the lineup today to enter the Service Canada Centre at Mississauga's Central Parkway Mall. It started before sunrise, the anxiety building as travellers hope they can get their passport renewed in time.
Well, I thought leaving at 6, I was going to be like number 10, 12, something, not 150.
While Sean came prepared to wait.
I feel like it's pretty expected, to be honest, because I feel like everyone wants to travel since the pandemic.
Officials had been bracing for a rise in passport demand with COVID-19 travel measures easing. 600 new employees were hired and additional counters were opened at more than 300 centres. But the backlog remains.
Something should be done. This is crazy, right? Like, we all have lives, we all have jobs, we have, you know, things that we need to do, and we shouldn't be sitting here standing in line for 6 hours.
I know they're not purposely doing it, but something needs to be done.
Since April, more than 317,000 passports have been handed out.
Service Canada says 96% of those applying in person for a passport will get it within 10 working days of submitting an application at a specialized site. If you're down to the wire and you need a passport within 2 days, you'll have to visit a specialized site and you'll also have to bring proof of your travel and pay more.
Let's take a look outside on this Friday evening. The big question everyone is asking at this time of the week, what are Saturday and Sunday going to look like? Jessica Smith is here with a look at the current conditions and the answer. Hey, Jessica.
I have the answer, Nathan. Hello. We're looking at sunshine, at least to get the day started on Saturday, but we are watching for the return of a few showers as we head in towards the later half of our weekend. But for now, holding on to a relatively clear sky, a little clutter a little bit further east, but for the most part, we are holding on to high pressure. Now, we're looking at sustained winds out of the west-northwest, right around 22 kilometers an hour, so not bad. A nice breeze if you're getting out this evening. Around the Golden Horseshoe, still sitting in the low 20s, through the island over towards Pearson, around 23 degrees. Tonight, pretty seasonal, a few clouds out there. There is a little rain on the way. I'll have that coming up, Nathan.
Thank you, Jessica. A sentencing hearing has been set for musician Jacob Hogarth's sexual assault case. The 37-year-old former Headley frontman will learn his fate October 6th. A jury found the singer guilty of sexual assault causing bodily harm against an Ottawa woman last Sunday. Hogarth was found not guilty of the same offense against a teenage fan.
A 47-year-old Mississauga man has been charged in a sexual assault and child pornography investigation. Police say Sean Jackson worked as a camp counselor and music instructor at Camp Kennebec in Ardern, Ontario for 19 years, dating back to 2002. He also worked in Peel Region as an unregistered personal support worker. Jackson is facing numerous charges, including possession of child pornography, sexual assault, and voyeurism. Next to concerns being raised about a downtown hotel shelter.
People who live near the Novotel are speaking out, and it isn't the first time.
This window actually...
Gru showed us what living at the Novotel Hotel temporary shelter has been like since he was forced to leave an encampment at Trinity Bellawoods. Not good, not safe. But either way, his neighbors along the Esplanade say they feel unsafe in their own community. Since the shelter opened, some too afraid to walk home at night.
Businesses along the Esplanade are really suffering. They've had their windows smashed repeatedly. There have been significant break-ins. There are assaults on the sidewalk.
A candidate for city council says the city, and especially the province, need to act.
If you're going to spend millions and millions of dollars in setting up these shelters very quickly, we need better management to ensure that people inside the shelters are safe and that the community is safe.
But not all residents here are against the shelter. Joyce Kagawa calls it a gift.
What if you were in that state? What if you had that history? What if you were there? How would you want to be treated? I think we need to identify with everybody, whoever we are.
Drew thinks some of his neighbors need to be more compassionate.
I think they're misunderstanding the level of trauma that people who were dumped here unceremoniously after last year's park evictions.
What both he and his neighbors do agree on is the untenable situation needs to change.
And the City of Toronto released a statement that says, in effect, criminal behavior by shelter residents in that community is not acceptable. And if you engage in inappropriate behavior, you will be held accountable.
Next, as CTV News investigates, and more fallout from our stories about a doctor accused of bilking the system.
The door is locked at their office in North Etobicoke after he was found to have faked some 42,000 procedures that our public health care system paid for. CTV's John Woodward joins us now. And John, he's not practicing there anymore, but what about all that money that was taken?
Yeah, Nathan, Ontario's regulators hit the doctor with a maximum fine, but that's over $100,000 less than what we estimate he took. And there's no sign yet our government is moving to recover that money.
Iris Omo and her family know him as Dr. Ayo.
He's good. He's been my daughter for 4 years now. Yeah.
No longer. The Etobicoke office of Dr. Ayo Kunle Fagbemigon is closed a day after the Ontario Physicians and Surgeons Review Board ordered his registration revoked. The tribunal found the doctor had billed for some 42,000 tests and procedures from 2014 to 2018 that he couldn't have done because he didn't buy the supplies. He also sent real patients for tests they didn't need, including drug testing a 9-year-old and administering 8 pregnancy tests to a woman who is not sexually active. The panel wrote on Thursday, Dr. Fagbemigon stole from Ontario's publicly funded health care system and harmed patients for his own financial gain, and fined him $35,000 and assessed around $72,000 in costs. But that figure is far short of what we estimate he took. The province's Auditor General has warned for years that more audits need to be done on doctors. A mechanism the ministry set up in 2019 to recover funds hasn't yet been used. A situation prompting Ontario's Green Party to put out a statement saying this is public money that is being drained from OHIP. Ontario Greens call on the provincial government to act immediately, using the specific tools they have at their disposal, specifically through the Health Services Appeal and Review Board. Ontario's healthcare system is already being stretched thin as it is. The Ford government should act quickly to recover the funds lost to fake procedures.
The doctor's office is here in Etobicoke North. That's Premier Doug Ford's riding. You can actually see his campaign office there across the street.
But no one was there when we checked or at his constituency office.
The mailbox belonging to
MPP Doug Ford
is full and cannot accept new messages at this time.
We also went to the office of Robin Martin, most recently the parliamentary assistant to the Minister of Health. After days of taking messages, the staff there took another message. Patients confused.
We're supposed to come and see him. But we don't know. Well, you're just telling us.
Without Dr. Ayo and with a medical issue, Iris Omo and her friend turned to trying other doctors in the building.
Now, late today, we did hear from Doug Ford's office saying they are in a transition period after the election. The doctor himself is supposed to appear in front of the tribunal in person to be reprimanded. A date for that hasn't been set yet. I'm reporting live. I'm John Woodward. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, John. And as always, we want to hear from you. If there are stories you want us to look into, here are some ways you can reach us. You can call 416-384-6397 or send an email to investigate@ctv.ca. You can also visit our website for other secure and anonymous options. That's at ctvnewstoronto.ca/investigates.
Canada's unemployment numbers are dropping again. In fact, it's the third consecutive month.
5.1%, that's the jobless number now, the lowest rate in nearly 50 years. CTV's Jill McEachon has more.
In Canada today, there are more jobs available and fewer workers to take them, driving down the nation's unemployment rate, creating the tightest labor market since 1976.
Yeah, it was a healthy job gain in May, 40,000 jobs added, and that pushed the unemployment rate down, as you said, to a new record low of 5.1%.
Employment this year has increased by more than 250,000 jobs versus an increase of about 85,000 in the labor force. And there's a shift from part-time employment to full-time work. With restrictions easing, there are more jobs in retail and food services. As demand for employees increases, wages are rising too, up nearly 4% year over year, the largest gains in three decades.
Obviously not good from a corporate perspective, squeezing margins, but good from a household consumer spending perspective.
But even the wage bump doesn't account for rising costs. Inflation, now hovering around 7%, is driving up the prices of food and fuel. The Bank of Canada is hoping to reduce it by increasing interest rates, and the latest positive unemployment figures won't slow the expected hikes.
When it comes to the Bank of Canada, I think there was no change in the green light on the tightening cycle in this report.
Canada's jobless rate has been inching down since February. As more businesses reopen, the economy will continue to run hot. But experts say we can expect more moderate growth in the near future. Jill McEachon, CTV News, Winnipeg.
Canada's poised to become the first country in the world to require a health warning on every cigarette. Addictions Minister Carolyn Bennett says the move is meant to help educate users, especially young people, who are more likely to share cigarettes and miss warnings on the package. Cigarette packages will also be upgraded to include a longer list of smoking's health risks.
A wide-ranging speech today from Prime Minister Justin Trudeau at the closeout of the Summit of the Americas in Los Angeles. Among other things, he thanked fellow leaders for their support of Ukraine while highlighting the global food crisis.
Ukraine, the grain elevators are full. They had a record harvest crop last year. Now, Ukraine is expected to have a crop one-third smaller than last year because of the war. And Russia is blocking it from getting out. As you all know, there are no sanctions on food. We need to counter and continue to counter Russian disinformation at every turn. Canada recognizes the negative impact of this crisis on economies and on food security in our hemisphere, and we'll be there to help, both with short and longer term solutions.
Trudeau also held meetings today with U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, as well as the leaders of Jamaica and the Dominican Republic.
South of the border, the fallout continues after the explosive opening of the January 6th Commission's hearings last night.
Yeah, we're out of here. We're going to get riot warning. We're going to try to get compliance, but this is now effectively a riot.
49 hours declaring it a riot.
Cruiser 5 to 50, be advised. Cal Police 1 advised they're trying to breach and get to the Capitol.
A carefully crafted timeline of never-before-seen video showed how the riot on Capitol Hill unfurled. The words of former allies of President Trump were also played. In this clip, Trump's daughter was asked to react to the words of the former U.S. Attorney General about her father's ambitions to overturn the election.
I made it clear I did not agree with the idea of saying the election was stolen and putting out this stuff, which I told the president was and, I didn't want to be a part of it. And that's one of the reasons that went into me deciding to leave when I did.
Did that affect your perspective about the election when Attorney General Barr made that statement?
It affected my perspective. I respect Attorney General Barr. Accepted what he said, was saying.
And Trump weighed in on today's announcements from the daughter's comments. Trump says Ivanka had, quote, checked out of the election and wasn't involved in looking at or studying the election results.
And CTV's Washington Bureau Chief Joy Malbin joins us now. Joy, the dramatic video and testimony offering new insight into just what happened. What more has been learned about that day in January? Well, I think what the committee was trying to do in prime time is to get Americans to pay attention to something that happened a year and a half ago with that dramatic video. What struck me is some of the information and what they are trying to lay out in their case that Donald Trump, they're alleging that Donald Trump was at the center of a coup plot, a month-long plot to overturn a legitimate presidential election and to stop Joe Biden from becoming president. People thought the mob was spontaneous. It was not. How extremists were involved, the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers. I also thought was really chilling is Liz Cheney, the Republican co-chair, when she said that when some of the mob, the rioters, were saying hang Mike Pence because Donald Trump had been pressuring his vice president to stop the certification of this election, of Joe Biden's election, the pressure that was on him, and he did not because it would be illegal and against the Constitution. Apparently, Trump said that, when he heard supporters saying, hang Mike Pence, he said, well, you know, maybe we should agree with our supporters. Maybe they should because he deserves it, meaning Mike Pence. Mm. It was pretty chilling.
That is, Joy. What's your sense of the reaction? What is the reaction in Washington and in the U.S.?
Look, this is a divided country. It is deeply polarized. Most Republicans, certainly Trump Nation, they didn't even tune in. Fox News didn't carry it, although the Fox Business Channel did. So, you've got counter-programming. After a year and a half, opinions are kind of baked in. Although 70%, new polls show that 70% of Americans think that we should find out what happened, because certainly extremism and the dangers to America's democracy, it's still out there.
CTV's Joy Mabin live for us in Washington. Thank you.
Thanks.
Federal health officials say a new vaccine has been approved for use to curb the spread of monkeypox. 112 cases have been confirmed across the country.
Among cases for whom information is available, age range from 20 to 63 years. All cases to date are male, and the majority report having sexual contact with men. However, this virus can spread to anyone through close contact with an infected person.
Dr. Teresa Tam says the new vaccine will be available to anyone with a high-risk exposure or within a setting where exposure is happening. But Tam says no mass vaccination campaign is needed.
Pope Francis has been forced to cancel his planned July trip to Congo and South Sudan because of ongoing knee problems, but there's no word on the status of the Pope's visit to Canada later next month. The Vatican confirming the African trip has been postponed under doctor's orders, but no new date has been set. The Pope is undergoing therapy for his right knee and has been using a wheelchair for about a month. Pope Francis is scheduled to visit Canada July 24th to the 29th to meet with residential school survivors.
And back in our country, another aspect of Quebec's new language law is causing immediate fallout. The province now issuing marriage certificates in French only. The new rule came into effect June 1st and has already prompted some couples to change locations for their weddings. One wedding planner says some people are opting to get married in different provinces, mainly across the border here in Ontario. With the passage of Bill 96, some parts of Quebec's civil code have been changed.
And staying in Quebec, a library near Montreal is at the center of a storytime uproar. For Pride Week, a popular drag queen has been invited to come to the library to read to the children, but now they're being forced to bring in extra security. CTV's Julia Isri explains.
Now, as it happens,
for Montreal drag queen Barbada, the library is one of her favorite venues.
Pinecone stood at the edge.
She hosts story time to teach children the importance of acceptance.
That's kind of the reason why I do this, to educate young and also adults, and often more adults than young kids.
And it's the adults causing a stir. Last weekend, Barbada read to 5- and 6-year-olds at the Dorval Library. Most of the feedback online was positive, but there was also disapproval, with some people on Facebook saying the event was not age-appropriate. In fact, there were so many disparaging remarks, the library had to block comments on its post ahead of another story time planned for Saturday.
The mayor of Dorval says he spoke to police as a precaution and has decided to call in extra security for Saturday's event.
This is just a lot of noise on Facebook and other social media. We're going to be prepared.
And I think everyone's going to have a great time, just like they had last weekend.
Barbada is a music teacher and stars in a children's TV show. She's surprised by the anger online.
I know how to react with children. I know how to guide them into understanding things they don't understand. It's a very different approach from, you know, just shows that you see that are for adults.
These first-time parents don't understand the uproar either.
I think it's a good thing, and I hope to see more activities like that in the future as my little one grows up.
We're looking forward to tomorrow. You look
awesome.
Fabulous.
Despite the backlash, Saturday's event is fully booked.
In order to respect someone or something you don't understand, you have to take the time to just open your mind.
To Barbada, that's the moral of this story. Taria Isri, CTV News.
Coming up, Justin Bieber reveals why he had to cancel his two Toronto shows this week, the pop star's diagnosis, and what it means for his ability to perform.
And I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, when you dine out in restaurants, you're expected to leave a tip to show your appreciation to staff, but now some are implementing a no-tip policy. A Toronto restaurant has just given its workers a pay hike and benefits and done away with tipping. I'll have my reports just ahead.
And if you're looking to get out and into the garden tomorrow, you'll want to do it early. We're starting off our Saturday nice and sunny, but we're looking at showers rolling in as we head in towards the afternoon, along with the risk of some thunderstorm activity. Although it will be a seasonal day, it will end with some rain on the way. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
The past 2 years of the pandemic were difficult for the restaurant industry, especially staff who rely on tips as part of their income.
Now, some restaurants are adopting a tip-free approach where they raise the prices on the menu, but tipping's not required. Pat Foran's got the details on Consumer Alert. Pat.
Nathan and Michelle, a Toronto restaurant has just changed to a tip-free model and now pays its workers higher wages and health benefits. It says a living wage helps level the playing field for staff and gives them a more reliable paycheck.
The owner of Bark Smokehouse in Toronto has run the restaurant for the past 11 years, but last month he decided to take a new approach to paying his employees.
We decided to remove tipping from the equation. We knew that most people were tipping anyhow, and by removing tipping, we created more income security for our staff.
The starting wage at the restaurant is $22.25 an hour, including paid sick days, personal days, and health benefits. To pay the higher wages, the restaurant raised the prices on its menu by about 20%, which customers we spoke to had no problem paying.
I think it's great. I've traveled a lot, especially in Europe, where tax and tip are included in the prices, and I just find it much easier.
Waitstaff say because tips fluctuate from week to week, the higher fixed wage offers them more stability.
With tips, you basically worry about how much you're going to be making. It's kind of a crapshoot. Some days you get more, some days you get less. So this, you just know you have a base solid amount and you don't have to worry.
Kitchen staff say they often feel underappreciated and feel the new system is fairer for all workers.
Fully a living wage and benefits and, you know, days off, mental health days, all of that just largely unheard of.
It's not just a restaurant here in Toronto with a no tipping policy. One in Ottawa has just done the same thing. And some in the restaurant industry say it's a trend that could catch on.
This is a win-win. It's good for the employees, it's good for the employers, and it's good for the economy.
I hope more restaurants start doing this.
By paying their staff more and providing benefits, the restaurant is also hopeful they can retain employees, improve morale, and provide more financial security for its workforce.
And wait staff say some tourists don't realize they're supposed to tip because there's no tipping in the country they're from. They also say it's less stressful because they can concentrate more on their job and less on how much someone may tip them. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
And how's this for something cool in the sky above the GTA? The famous Goodyear blimp making an appearance in town this weekend with the RBC Canadian Open Golf Tournament being held in our city. It's using the Oshawa Executive Airport as its home base during its visit. The blimps have been a mainstay around large sporting events going back decades. I remember them back in the day. So if you're wondering what was up, that's what's up.
I know, and I'm wondering, it's planning to fly this weekend, right. But the weather is iffy. I don't know. Tomorrow might not be a good day.
It depends on the timing.
Okay.
So tomorrow's one of those days you have to keep your eye on the sky because it starts off not so bad, right? We have sunshine in the morning, but we're watching a system making its way in, and it's going to get a little messy in the afternoon. Not really organized showers, but pop-up, you know, showers here and there. The risk of thunderstorm activity, that was the more serious issue as we head into the day. So when thunder roars, we all know you got to go indoors. Weather is brought to you by Trane, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It is hard to stop a Trane. We are looking at these showers kind of really starting to settle in as we make our way in and around the GTA tomorrow. But for now, it's going to be not so bad, right? Throughout the Golden Horseshoe, holding on to temperatures in the low to mid-20s. And we stay nice and warm as we head through the evening. So if you want to get out for a walk tonight or hit the patios, we're looking at that being not so shabby, right? But as we make our way through the overnight, we're going to keep our eye really closely on the sky because that's when things start to shift. We're looking at a low tonight of 14, just above that seasonal mark. It's the same really for everybody. A little cooler, though, further north. So up towards kind of Parry Sound, Bancroft, up towards Kingston even. They're in the kind of low to mid single-digit range. Getting into your Saturday, starting off again nice and sunny. But it's as we head into the afternoon where we watch for the chance of showers and then the risk of thunderstorm activity to roll its way in. We're looking at this really spreading across southern Ontario, but it moves rather quickly. So we'll kind of time everything out for you. So if you have any plans tomorrow afternoon, you can plan your day accordingly. The bulk of the active weather today made its way further east, and we stayed relatively clear throughout the day. A few clouds later on, but overall really beautiful. We're looking at that high pressure being pushed out by a low kind of north and south of us, and they're going to kind of stay put as we head throughout the day and watching it really kind of settle into northern Ontario first and then southern Ontario a little bit later on. The rest of our evening, really beautiful. We're holding on to some pretty light winds as we head through the beginning of our night. Getting into our Saturday morning, the chance of it maybe a passing shower, but really a beautiful start. It's as we get kind of that 1:30, 2 o'clock range where we watch for the chance of showers and the risk of thunderstorms to really start to make their way in. Getting in towards Saturday night, again, the chance of showers stays with us. Sunday, it's a little more organized, and we're watching for more organized showers and the risk of some thunderstorm activity to make its way in as we head kind of throughout the day. Temperature-wise, we see a really big shift take place as we head in towards the beginning of next week, and more summer-like conditions are on the way. Saturday and Sunday, pretty seasonal, although Sunday cools down just a little bit. But getting in towards our Monday, Tuesday, even through Wednesday, that's when the heat really starts to increase, and we're looking at a much more summer-like forecast as we get in towards the official start of summer. All right, stay with us. CTV News continues in just a couple of minutes.
It's a personal revelation from one of the world's biggest pop stars, Justin Bieber, with an explanation for his canceled shows in Toronto this week.
The 28-year-old from Stratford says he's been diagnosed with Ramsay-Hunt syndrome, a rare reaction to a virus. CTV's Sean Lethong joins us live with the details. Sean.
Well, Michelle and Nathan, on Instagram, Bieber posted a video showing that he's suffering from a partial facial paralysis, and he's in no condition to go on stage.
Hey, everyone. Justin here. I wanted to update you guys on what's been going on.
In an update posted to Instagram today, Justin Bieber showed fans why his Toronto shows were canceled just hours before he was set to take the stage.
As you can probably see from my face, I have this syndrome called Ramsay-Hunt syndrome.
Bieber explaining that he's experiencing facial paralysis due to a virus.
As you can see, this eye is not blinking. I can't smile on this side of my face.
So what it is, it's a version of the same virus that causes chicken pox.
Dr. Kashif Prasada says that Ramsay-Hunt syndrome can be quite disabling, affecting the nerves in the ear and face, causing balance issues, dizziness, and facial paralysis.
It's very unusual for someone of his age to get it. Usually it affects people with compromised immune systems, people are older. I do know he had COVID a couple months ago, so I wonder if that has a factor.
Bieber canceled two shows that were set to take place in Toronto starting Tuesday night.
I was so sad. Like, it was so sad. I cried for the past 3 hours. It was so bad.
We cried a little bit.
Yeah. I'm heartbroken.
We might cry again later.
His Justice tour has already been postponed three times since 2020.
I wish this wasn't the case. But obviously my body's telling me I got to slow down. And I hope you guys understand.
Last March, Bieber's wife Haley was hospitalized after suffering stroke-like symptoms due to a blood clot. For Bieber's sake, Dr. Prezada says that it will improve with treatment using antivirals. There is no timetable for when Bieber's tour is expected to resume.
Dr. Prezada also said that recovery can be as long as months, but he said due to Bieber's age, it's likely to be much faster. Reporting live, I'm Sean Nithong. Michelle, send it back to you.
Thank you, Sean. A street in North York will soon bear the name of a former Raptors superstar. Kyle Lowry Road will be one of eight new streets at Don Mills Crossing. The site near Don Mills Road and Eglinton Avenue is the future location of a new community hub. Lowry spent nine seasons with Toronto before signing with the Miami Heat last August. The Raptors' 2019 championship win will also be recognized with a street called Champions Road. The street naming ceremony will be held on Monday.
Some wedding news for a pop star. Britney Spears has tied the knot once again. Spears married her longtime partner, Sam Asghari, months after she got her freedom back from a court conservatorship. Her ceremony was not drama-free, though, after Spears' first husband, Jason Alexander, crashed the wedding and Southern California police were called. Alexander and Spears were married for 55 hours in 2004.
Toronto Mayor John Tory says music brings people together. He told reporters at a Canadian Music Week news conference it was missed during the pandemic, but it also helped many people cope.
We saw how much we missed music in the context of sort of the street life and the, you know, different impacts that it had on the economy and, of course, on the artists. The other thing that I think music actually in a different way kind of helped a lot of people get through the pandemic when they were isolated and by themselves and couldn't go anywhere. But if you think about it, and something that I talk about often, even when I'm not at music-related events, is that music is one of those things in a diversity like this that brings people together and that they can all celebrate together, even if they can't talk to each other.
The Glorious Sons play tonight at Massey Hall as part of Canadian Music Week. The mayor's comments came at a summit this morning for the 40th annual event.
Meanwhile, Luminato Festival is back with 11 days of free concerts, dance, theater, music, and art. Now, this is an installation called Black Ark, on display at Ashbridges Bay Park. It explores Canada's role in the transatlantic slave trade and features a cathedral structure that invites people inside the hull of a ship. It's aimed at sparking discussions about the fractured and erased history of enslavement in Canada.
I think that, you know, black history is Canadian history, and for so long, a lot of black history hasn't been recognized or it's been unacknowledged. I spent quite a bit of time in North Preston, about 2 months there, and I was really inspired by the people. Like, it was the first time that I got a sense of what it meant, like, in some ways, what the original black Canadians are, who they are, their histories.
Yonge and Dundas will also be a hub of concerts and activities till Sunday. Luminato itself runs until June 19th.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Lastman's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
I think it's great, and I think it's a step in the direction to returning to what was our formal normal.
Updating our top stories, air travelers can expect some relief soon to help reduce the current chaos at Pearson International Airport. The federal government is dropping one of its key COVID-19 travel measures. Starting tomorrow, mandatory random testing will be suspended at all Canadian airports for vaccinated travelers.
I think it's going to be a nightmare.
High gas prices, planned road and subway closures can make for a frustrating weekend for GTA drivers and commuters. Some of the closures include Lakeshore Boulevard from Strawn to Windermere Saturday morning and Bloor Street West to College Street much of the day.
I thought that I applied in time, that it was going to be no problem, and now I'm really worried and stressed out. And the line is really not moving.
And those long passport lines continue, stopping GTA travelers long before they even get to the airport.
On the markets, the Canadian dollar dropped 47 basis points to 78.29 U.S. American benchmark oil fell 84 cents a barrel to 120.67. And the TSX Composite Index lost 289 points to close at 20,274.
Tonight, Ottawa's stopgap solution to getting airport lineups moving.
I think it's time to start moving forward like
to be in sync with the rest of the world.
A temporary pause in random testing for vaccinated travelers. That's later on CTV National News.
Toronto is one of the most vibrant, diverse, and interesting cities on the planet. We're a world leader in many areas like business, finance, technology, entertainment, and culture.
Each week, Things to Know TO shines a spotlight on a wide variety of local businesses, services, events, and initiatives from across the GTA that are working to make our city even greater.
And one of the world's best places to live, work, and play. Join us Saturday mornings for Things to Know TO.
After dropping the first two games of the series, the Tampa Bay Lightning are now just one win away from advancing to their third straight Stanley Cup final.
Toward the net, he scores again from just inside the blue line. 2-1 Lightning with 1:50 to go.
Andre Palat scored on a deflection with less than 2 minutes remaining in the third to break a 1-1 tie and put the Rangers on the brink of elimination. Tampa now holds a 3-2 series lead after the 3-1 victory in Game 5. Game 6 is tomorrow night in Tampa.
Checks out the seams. Green all over. Brown drives inside. Beautiful move with the left hand.
And Game 4 of the NBA Finals goes tonight in Boston. The Celtics are coming off a 16-point win and lead the series 2-1. Boston held Golden State to just 11 points in the fourth quarter on Wednesday. Steph Curry says he will play tonight after injuring his leg late in Game 3.
All right, one last look at the forecast. How are things looking tonight?
Pretty nice. If you want to head out this evening, it's a great night to get out and get active, go for a walk, or maybe even hit up dinner outside. Right around the Golden Horseshoe, still holding on the low to mid-20s and a lighter wind right now. Again, as we head through the rest of our evening, we'll see the sunset pretty soon. But hey, not too bad of a night to get out and enjoy the very summer-like weather. Getting in towards the day tomorrow, we are watching for that chance of active weather to roll in the afternoon. It settles in for Sunday, but high pressure returns just in time for Monday to start off a brand new week. Michelle.
Thank you, Jessica. And be sure to join Sean Leithong later tonight for ZTV News at 11:30.
In the meantime, you can stay up to date by going to our website and watch breaking news all day long on CP24.
For Jessica Smith and all of us here at CTV News, have a great night.
Good night.